God, that you are going to leave this place changed by the power of God. I want to bring something this morning that's not, supernatural or some type of big revelation, but it's a simple concept that we all have to grab a hold of and believe God for, and that is the issue of trust. Amen. Too many times in life, we go through things, we struggle through things with people and with just things in general, in the church as well, spiritually, we struggle with things, we struggle with God's plan, God's will for our lives, all kinds of things. We struggle financially, we struggle with our families, we struggle with friends, and we struggle at work, and all kinds of different places in life, we are going to struggle. Amen? And as we go through those struggles, one of the things that gets threatened is the trust that we have. Amen? The trust that our job is going to be there tomorrow, our trust that our family is going to stay together or that God's going to rebuild it, trust that our relationships are going to stay intact, after an argument or something that happened in the family. And so you think about that, because with time, oftentimes we lose trust. We just tend to lose trust. Sometimes people stop praying because they lose trust in God. They pray, they believe God for something, it didn't happen, and so they lose the trust that they once had in God, and so they stop praying. They might still come to church, but they'll stop praying. They stop believing that God can do something to help them in their situation. One of the easiest times to serve God, as we all know, is when things are going good. How many know that it's good to serve God when things are good? Amen. The bank account has about $5,000, amen, stored in the savings. Glory to God. The rent's paid. The car's paid for. It's running. Everything's good. Amen. Life is good. The marriage is good. The kids are good. Our health is good. When things are like that in our lives, it's easy to lift our hands and praise God. We look across the way, at somebody that's kind of just standing there. We think to ourselves, oh, what a loser. He doesn't even lift his hands. He must be going through something in his life, And we shout the personal victory, man, because things in our lives are going good. It's easy to go up to someone and say, brother, you just need to toughen up and trust God like I have and see how good my life is. We might not say it like that, but that's really what we're saying with different words. And a sister that's crying at the altar, we'll come up to her and, sister, don't cry. God will help you. Now, it's easy to say that to someone else when things in your life are going good and things in their life are going bad. How many of you know that when things get turned around, it's a whole different other show? But all of a sudden, things begin to fall apart around us personally. How many of you know that it's a tough time? Man, a brother comes up to us and tells us the same thing. Amen. Just trust God. And you don't want to be rude, but really what you're thinking is, I've trusted God all this time. I prayed. Didn't you see me serving God? I came to the outreach. I gave in the offering. Look at how God's been treating me. We don't say that out loud. But we, whispers in our minds and in our hearts, we think that. We're quick to tell others that serving God is great when things are great in our lives. How many of you know, again, just as a reminder in this message, when things begin to fall apart around us, things are not as exciting. Amen. The disciples went through things like that as well. We can see many different examples in the Word of God, where at one point the disciples are at their best, they're shouting the victory, proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ as King and Lord of all the earth. But then, we also know that when Jesus began to reveal to them the true plan of God, that he was going to die at Calvary, that they were going to suffer, and they were going to go through tribulations, how many know that even their attitude changed? Man, we're going to read this morning in Mark chapter 8, verse 31 through verse 33. And we're going to see a prime example of what can happen when things go from good to bad. chapter 8, verse 31 through verse 33, the Bible says this, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and he be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise from the dead. Again, he spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. When he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Let's pray this morning. Father, we ask you to move and to help us this morning. God, help me deliver your word, God, in power and in glory. God, we come before you humble. God, we come before you desperate and, God, needy. Father, we ask that you would move and help us this morning in Jesus' name. And God's church said,
amen,
amen, and amen. So what really happened here is that, Peter being one of the right-hand men of God, considered, he's really close to Jesus at this time. He's got a really close relationship with him. And so, here Jesus bursts his bubble, right? He tells him, hey, this fun's going to end soon. I'm going to have to suffer through some things. And I'm going to have to go and die for you guys. But don't worry, the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. Now, you would think that the moment that Jesus said, I'm going to rise from the dead, then Peter would have caught on and would have said, he's going to die, but glory be to God, he's going to raise from the dead. So that means that although he's going to live for a while, suffer some things, he's going to come back and he's going to be with us again. But that's not how Peter saw it. The only thing Peter heard was that Jesus was going to suffer through some things. Now, I don't think that it was so much that he was concerned about Jesus suffering through some things. I think the big thing for Peter was kind of what happens to us. He was thinking of himself. He's thinking, man, if Jesus dies, I've left everything behind to follow him. Now he's telling me he's going to die. That means that life might get a little hard for me too. He started thinking in his mind quickly, I'm sure. Man, if Jesus leaves us, what's going to happen to us? Because Jesus didn't really, give them a long explanation of everything that was going to happen afterwards, other than to say that he was going to rise from the dead at that moment. Later day it was revealed, but at that moment, that's the only information that Peter is hearing from Jesus. Now, how many of you know that, we're okay as long as God is close to us? Amen? As long as Jesus is right next to us and we can feel his presence and the tears are coming down our eyes because we can feel the hand of God just all over our lives. How many know that when we're going through those type of experiences in the church, those are good times. But there's also times in the Christian life where Jesus kind of just leaves us alone. He just kind of lets us be. And the reason why he does that, the reason why sometimes in Christianity, we don't feel, that fuzzy feeling, or we're perhaps feeling a little separated from Jesus, like he's mad at us or something like that. The reason why sometimes we go through those experiences is because what God is trying to do is he's trying to teach us how to get close to him. If we're so used to having him close to us, we're never going to learn how to get close to him, right? Because he's the one that gets close to us. And we have to learn how to get close to him. And the only way we're going to learn that is if he kind of moves away. And then through the process of him moving a little further away from us, it teaches us how to get close to him again. It's not like Jesus is trying to run away from us. But Jesus is a teacher. He's not only our God, he's not only our deliverer, our savior, he is a teacher. Amen. We know we can read in the word of God where he would kneel down and he would draw on the ground. He would do that to teach his people, teach the disciples things about life, about serving him, about all the tribulations and all the hard times that we're going to go through as men and women of God. Jesus gave Peter hope when he told him, listen, I'm going to rise from the dead on the third day. You know, it wasn't like Jesus told him, I'm going to die, and maybe about 15 years later, I'm going to show up again. I'm talking about 3 days, and Peter flipped out. You know, 3 days. Three 24-hour periods. And Peter flipped out. He didn't really want to hear the 3 days. All he wanted to hear is that Jesus was going to say, oh, Peter, really? You really don't want me to die? Okay, man, I'll just go ahead and stay here. You know, I don't have to die for all these people. I'll just stay here with you, Peter, because you're just such a wonderful man. But Jesus had, and God had, bigger plans, right? The bigger plan was that Jesus was going to die for all of us. For the Gentiles, the Jews, for every person that ever wanted to get close to him, receive him as Lord and Savior, that's who he was going to go die for. And Jesus warns us that through the process of life, we're going to go through tribulations. We're going to suffer things just like he suffered things. You know, think with me. We all have questioned Jesus at times of trouble. I didn't even know that we questioned Jesus. You know, we've all had that little prayer, you know, where we want to sound our religious in front of people, and we're praying, oh God, please help me, Lord. And we're praying out loud so everybody can hear us. You know, people know that we're going through something. You know, and you want everybody to hear, oh God, help me, Lord. Move, God, I feel your presence. Oh wow, my knees really getting a hold of God. Right? You know, we've all had those moments. How many know that we don't pray the same when we're going through things? Sometimes we show up to prayer and we're just vexed hearing everybody else have the victory in prayer, right? I'm like, shut up already. You know, we're trying to find something on the phone, you know, we're there just to save face that we went to prayer, but we're really not praying. See, when we go through things, we're going to question Jesus. I don't think there's anything wrong with questioning Jesus. I'm not talking about, you know, interrogating Jesus. Why, Lord? But you said, you know, I'm not saying that. But, you know, it's okay asking Jesus, Lord, why is this happening to me? You know why it's okay to ask Jesus, why is this happening to me? So he can tell you why it's happening to you. It's just that simple, right? Amen. You know, we're not going to do it with an arrogant spirit Lord, why? Tell me now. No, not like that. But if we go up to Jesus and say, Lord, going through some hard times. I'm not understanding why I'm going through this. I need you to help me, show me. You know, God is so good that he's willing to show us. Amen. Amen. He's willing to come down from the throne of heaven and show us. Son, daughter, listen, we go through this stuff because this and this and this and this. And it's like a revelation. The light turns on and we're saying, man, glory be to God. You know, that God has a plan. The minute things begin to become difficult, you know, that is one of the first things that we're going to do. We're going to question the plan of God. Listen to what John 16:33 says. It says this, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulations. He warns us about this, right? He says, listen, as long as you're close to me, you're going to have peace, right? But that doesn't mean, because in the same sentence he says, but in the world you're going to have tribulations. And so we know we're in the world, right? We're in the world. This is not our home. This is just kind of a place we're visiting for a little while. And so, and here we are, and Jesus says, listen, with me you're going to have peace. You gotta kind of think about this. Jesus tells us, in me you're going to have peace, but in the world you're going to have tribulations. And so the homework for us is, how do we have peace in a world, or how do we have peace with Jesus in a world where Jesus is telling us we're going to have tribulations? You know how? Trust in Jesus. When you learn to trust Jesus, you can go through the hardest things in life and you will have joy. And the reason why you will have joy is because you see beyond your problem. Right? God gives you clarity and he's able to show you, listen, you're going to go through this for this period, but soon enough, down the road, things are going to change. I'm going to move for you. We're going to have the victory. You're going to do something special. Because that's really what Jesus told Peter. Jesus tells Peter and the others, listen, I'm going to have to go through some things. I'm going to die. 3 days down the road after he was going to die, he was going to raise from the dead. I was Peter, I'd be counting the days. Day one, Jesus is coming back soon. Right? And, you know, in 2 days, woo! It was kind of like Christmas, right? Right before Christmas, our kids are like, you know, by that time, they've opened the presents, they've rewrapped them just to, they already know what they're getting, right? They're looking for receipts in the house just to see what they're going to get for Christmas. They're checking the box when we're not there. I mean, you know, they can't wait, right? They're counting down the days because they know there's going to be a prize. There's going to be a present. There's going to be a thank you. Listen, here you go for being a good kid. Just in this church, because the kids, I love the church. Matthew 5:44 says, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust alike." Here we have another kind of a pre-warning. Jesus is saying, you know, how many of you ever wondered, you know, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but you know, you could be one of those persons that, you know, you're paying your tithe, you're giving offerings, you know, you made some sacrifices, you're coming to church, you know, you may have your family, your enemy, because, you know, they don't like Jesus, you love Jesus, you preach to them, you know, you've sacrificed, period. And then, and you're going through stuff, you're thinking, man, I'm doing all this for Jesus, and I'm going through all this hard stuff. Why? And as you're thinking about that, here comes the local drug dealer. He's killing people with drugs, right? He looks like H-E double hockey sticks, right? And, you know, stuff's going on in his life. But he seems to be like the happiest neighbor, right? You're like, why? Why is that guy so happy and he's killing people and he's doing all this crazy stuff? You know, I'm serving God, I'm going through stuff, and I'm sad, I'm broken. Man, how many of you ever felt like that? Or, you know, it happened to me where, you know, I'm having a bad day, you know, and I show up to the gas station and pump my last $5 of gas, right? And, you know, it's real quick, $5, it's done. Right? And right as that happens, right, you turn around and this guy shows up in this big old stinking monster truck. He has a big old bow in the back. His kids, Daddy, Daddy, can I have a candy? Yeah, go get the whole store off by church, man, I'm sacrificing, I woke up early, this sucker, man, look at this big old truck, you know, I got $5 in my, you don't even move, the truck is saying, put more gas, you know, you're thinking, why? See, I think that could be the biggest mistake we can make, is not comparing ourselves to all these other people. Listen, we have heaven to look forward to. Heaven has better trucks, and God, heaven has better things to offer us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Amen. Barack Obama just bought $11 million mansion. You know, 30 acres of land. Think about it. This guy came out of the bottoms of Chicago, and he's now buying $11 million mansion. That's nothing in comparison to what God has in store for us. Amen. That's nothing in comparison to what God has in store for us. What God is trying to help us understand is that the issue of trust needs to always be alive and thriving in our lives. We have to always find a way to rebuild trust that has been lost. You know, the devil wants that. You would need to lose trust in God. He wants us to focus and compare ourselves to all the other people that are not serving God, and they begin to think, man, you know, they got it so good, I'd rather just do that than this, because, you know, if I do that, I might be happier. You know, my kids might be happier. I thank God that although at times my kids probably thought serving God was the most boring thing ever, you know, I'm going to church with them. You know, have you ever had those Sundays, right? You're screaming, get ready! Hey, what are you doing? That happened to you? Maybe just me. But the thing, how many know that it's difficult, right, just to get here? It's a short just to get to church on Sundays, right? You know, Wednesdays are a little easier, but Sunday mornings, it's hard, right? It's like, don't you wish they would have given us a manual when we started coming to church to show us how to prepare, you know, like 2 weeks before? Stay dressed. Don't take your clothes off. Don't go to sleep. Stay, sleep in the car makes it just much easier, right? You know, put the Saturday night and make everybody sleep in the car or a tent right outside the car so they can just get in and go. But the thing is that life is not like this difficult. You know, serving God, it's not the easiest thing. That's why this morning there are people that are not here. Because to them it's a burden to serve God sometimes, right? It can become a burden sometimes. You know, it can become one of those things that, I mean, it's just too hard to serve God three times a week. You guys crazy. You're cold blooded. What's going on in that church world? Prayer meetings before church? My goodness, why? Why? Because that helps us to get close to God. That helps us establish the presence of God. You know, coming to church three times a week, 3 hours a week, I mean, in comparison to all those other hours we spend messing with our phones, watching television, doing other things for our own personal gain. How many of you know that 3 hours is not much? Okay? You know, maybe an hour and 30 minutes, or maybe another 2 hours if you come to prayer. But you think about this. This morning, what we do for Jesus is very minimal in comparison to what he does for us. And all we have to do is trust him. Right? All we have to do is trust him. If we're going to tell others that serving God is so good, we need to trust God. We can't preach one message to the lost and another message to ourselves. We have to trust what we are saying is true for others as much as it is for us. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 verses 13 says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And so here, God gives us more hope. What is the hope? The hope is that although there will be temptations in life to just leave God behind, you know, just let our trust in God just fall apart and just go and do our own thing, although those temptations will be there, God says that he'll make another way for us, right? He'll make another way for us so that we don't have to fall to the temptations that this world will offer us, so that we can fall further away from God instead of getting closer to God. You know, we have to do the things that are going to help us fight the frustration that we are currently experiencing in our spiritual lives. Don't raise your hand, but it's possible that you're frustrated, right? You've spent some time serving God. You've gone through some battles. You've fought the good fight, but you don't see any progress in your life. You know, sometimes that happens, right? Where we just go through dry spells. You know, you mean brothers who stand up and give these powerful testimonies. I went to the boss and I told him I had a raise. He gave me $10 raise. Praise God. You say, man, I've been fighting for 10 cents the last 3 years, right? You know, stuff like that happens. And it's difficult to just kind of bring balance in our minds and in our hearts because we play, again, that comparison game. We can't be comparing our situation to other situations. Because how many of you know that if it was us giving that testimony, we'd be shy in the victory, right? We'd be shy in the victory. You know, one of the amazing things about God is that God will help you regain the things that you have lost, right? A lot of times, you know, it's not God's fault. A lot of times it's our fault. We allow those temptations to drift, to separate us from God, right? We're so far from God that we don't know, you know, what's godly and what isn't, right? We allow ourselves to drift away so far from God that we come to church and we're like rocks in church, right? We see all these people clapping their hands, they're seeing it. Why don't I feel that? I mean, you ever asked that question, right? You see somebody, the pastor will get up here and he said, oh, I have to feel the presence of God, church. Do you feel it? No. You should have lost one of the tacos from last night, Pastor. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that happens, right? That we see people, oh man, goodness, man, why don't I feel what they're feeling? Sometimes it's that we have allowed the temptations of life to separate us from God, that we are not capable of feeling anything. So what happens again is that Jesus, as he told Peter, he said, I want to leave a little bit, for a little bit. And it was like a prime opportunity for Peter to learn how to live and serve God and trust God. Well, God feels like he's far away. Because right? At those 3 days for Peter, you might as well have told him, I'm not coming back for 3 years or 30 years. Because in his mind, he quickly, oh no, that can't happen, Lord. You can't do that, right? He quickly, you know, rebuked Jesus. Jesus rebuked him quickly afterwards. And perhaps what you feel is God's rebuke, right? He's saying, hey, listen, you're here complaining, you don't feel me. Well, I gotta complain for you. What have you done to pave a way so that I can get close to you? What have you done? You think about it. Maybe Jesus this morning is turning the question around on you, and you're asking Jesus, why don't I feel? Why am I not experiencing those same things that these people are? Maybe Jesus this morning is turning the question around on you, and he's saying, well, what have you done? What are you doing to get close to me? Because my habits are still the same. You've moved 10 times since last time we talked. Right? What are you doing to get close to me? You know, what are you going to do to wrestle through all these difficulties to be close to me? What are you willing to give up so that your life can get cleaned up and you can get close to me? What are you willing to do? Maybe this morning that's what Jesus is telling us. Maybe what he wants from us is to clean the mess so he can get close to us. How many of you know that if I was trying to reach, you were trying to reach me, and you were over there where Isaac is, and I'm over here, and I'm telling you, come. And in between me and Isaac, there's dog poop, there's all kinds of craziness. How many know that you'd be looking at that, and you'd be like, okay. You don't want to walk through there, right? You'll be looking for a way, okay, can I hang from something? Sweet boy. And do I got my spidey senses going on? You know what I'm saying? We're going to try to find a way to just jump all over. We're not going to walk through there. See, Jesus is a little different. He's not scared. He's looking at you saying, well, whenever you want to clean this up, I'll be close to you. Clean it up. Right? How many know sometimes looking at a toilet, just looking at it, grosses us out? Right? It's amazing. We'll use it, but we don't want to touch it. Right? Is that true? We'll flush it. Right? We get close to it and we're like, we got a towel, cut a hole. You know what I'm saying? I mean, have you been to a Circle K restroom? It's the grossest thing ever, right? You know? In Colombia, the first time we had to use the restroom, it was an experience. Right? So where's the bathroom? So we show up to the bathroom. First, you have to buy toilet paper, right? So for like 25 cents, this is what they give you for toilet paper. Right? I mean, 50 of these. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're like this. And then you go up to the restroom, and you got to pay to get in the restroom. That's another 25 cents. You don't got change, it's over for you. Right? You go get change. It's done. You might as well just go home, right? So you get in the restroom, and you show up to the restroom, and it doesn't have a lid. Like, you know, like a seat. They take them off over there because people steal them. I don't know for what. They use them for frisbees on the trip. But they take them off. They steal them so they don't have those, right? And so you're looking at that and say, well, I'm going to fall through there, you know? And then they don't have the top cover because they don't have a, you kind of like mess with the float so the water goes there. You better pray nobody's behind you, right? You're going to be walking out there like this. So, you know, the thing is that every restroom, the majority of the restrooms are like that. It's a chore to do anywhere. I'm going with this. Sometimes in life, life makes things that difficult for us, right? Just, you got to go through all these things, right? Just to get close to where Jesus is. Right? That's what life tries to do to us. It tries to complicate everything in between. Jesus makes everything simple. Jesus went to the cross. He died. On the third day, he rose from the dead. And all we have to do is say, God, forgive me. He'll forgive us. And he'll help us. That's the God that we serve. I'm not trying to be gross. I just want to paint the picture of what sin is like. How many know that sin is dirty, right? Sin is disgusting, right? That's what sin is. Let's be real this morning. Sin is gross. But we're willing to touch sin, right? We don't get grossed out. I'll give you a hint. Give me one. Everybody's, think about this. You know, everybody put their lips on that. It's all wet, you know, because you got that brother that's got wet lips. And you're like, everybody, you know, there's only one beater you're sharing from the same. I mean, it's gross, right? But we've all done it, right? Especially when we're younger and broke. You know, only one beater, one joint. We have to share, right? If everybody pitched in about 25 cents, we have to share. So you think about this, sin is real, but we're still willing to touch it. All the other things in life, that's what they do. They try to complicate things. Jesus makes it simple. This morning, Jesus has made it simple for you and for me. All we got to do is get close to Jesus, and Jesus will forgive us. Let's bow our heads this morning in this place. We need to, once again, reestablish that trust. Jesus is a good God. He helps us. He wants to move in our lives.